Melanie, I'm single, you're single. What do you say we get married?
Well, I'm glad you finally decided on the direct approach.
Yeah, well, I'm a businessman at heart.
As am I. What's your offer?
Single rich male seeks matrimony.
Primary residence?
Westchester County.
Would you be open to considering a secondary residence in Manhattan?
Central Park West?
South.
Done. Time spent together?
8 hours, 5 days a week.
7 hours, 12 hours weekends.
55 hours aggregate, specifics to be determined later.
I'm amenable to that. Children?
One.
Three.
Two.
Done. But one of them has to be a male.
I'll see what I can do. Vacations?
December, Hawaii.
June, the vineyard.
June, fine, but Hawaii.
Nope, the vineyard.
Is that a deal breaker for you?
I'm afraid so.
Me too. Well, we gave it a shot.
I'm sure you'll find a better match.
Thanks for the time.
Well, I love you more than Disneyland. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Brigitte Nielsen's Mammary Gland. And I love you more than my mom and dad. They both know and they're glad. Yes, it's true.
You think I'd be a good father?
It would be mean of me to say you'd be a bad father. But I'm willing to be mean to make sure you never procreate. Yeah, you would be a terrible father. Don't do that.
Never mind. Well, let's just play catch. Now just get ready. Keep your glove open. Just watch it go.
This is boring.
What else do you have to do?
You saw me up there. I am 17 and porn is literally endless on the internet.
I'm here.
Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. You missed the delivery. But it's okay. Making the baby's the fun part.
Good morning, America. How are you? I'm Rabbi Dave.
And I am Friar Rod, and it is a good morning.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Norwich lost.
5-2.
Yeah. They're, you know what, though? The Norwich goalkeeper, he had some outstanding saves. He's really good.
You know what? A, nobody cares. And B, it was a meaningless game.
Well, true.
So, I don't even know why they do that stuff. Imagine,
you know, I guess there's prize money involved for the teams playing, but.
Yeah, they're so excited about that that they use second and third stringers to play these games. These exits.
Well, it's because, they don't want them to get in.
Right.
In these lower level games, yeah.
These FA Cup games, which nobody cares about. I don't even know why we're talking about
it. I don't know.
We've already lost half the audience. Half the audience is gone. Oh, they're talking soccer again. Goodbye.
Newcastle could be playing Wrexham. If Wrexham wins on Monday, they could be playing Wrexham. That'll be a fun one.
I did find a team the other day that's named the Yellow Submarines.
Did you really?
But they're in the Spanish league, so there you go. Welcome everybody. It's good to talk to you again. Today the championship games, conference championships in the NFL.
Right.
Pulling for anybody in particular?
I like.
And why is it the Detroit Lions?
I like San Francisco.
Of course you do. You live down there.
Well, I do, but you know, it's been a good team, and Brock Purdy's a young guy, and I'd like to see.
But it's the Detroit Lions. Have you not seen the maps of the country? They put out these maps. They go, who the country is rooting for? And the whole country is pulling for Detroit, except for California.
Yeah.
And really probably only Northern California, because, well, really only Western Bay Area California, because don't Raiders fans hate the 49ers?
I've never hated the 49ers. I've just, I like the Raiders. If I choose, if they're both playing against each other, I choose the Raiders. But,
right. Huh. I don't know, man.
The Niners have better ownership.
Can't stand the Kansas City Chiefs because I'm a Broncos fan. But at the same time,
I'm a Raiders fan.
Yeah. To me, the Ravens are an abomination. The Ravens should not exist. They should not exist. They are, in fact, the Cleveland Browns, and both of their Super Bowl wins were pathetic. I mean, they bitch-slapped the Giants, and then they beat your 49ers. But everybody knew they were going to win that game because it was Ray Lewis's final game. And if you believe the NFL is scripted, well, there you go. Anyway, I guess I'm pulling for the Lions today. Although it wouldn't bother me if the 49ers won. I would like to see a close game. The other game, I literally do not care. Literally. I could stand on top of that mountain behind me and shout to the world, I just don't care.
Is it bad, though, when you want to watch the game, can you're rooting for someone to get injured?
I used to watch the Giants play the A's and root for the earthquake.
Okay.
I actually got that one time.
You did.
There you go. So what's wrong with America? Let's get to the meat of the show. We actually did some prep this week. What's wrong with America?
Well, you know, we've talked about it being rural versus urban areas and how there's that divide.
Okay. There's that divide. What about a racial divide? Are we really as divided racially as we're told we are?
I don't think we are, per se, but I do think that people are with DEI, are actively trying to make it that way.
Well, because there's advantages to them to do that, right? They're making money. This is the homeless industrial complex mentality. You governments, listen carefully. You keep giving money to people to, quote unquote, solve homelessness. And what has it done?
It's made it worse.
It's made it worse. You know why? Because if you actually solve homelessness, those people are out of work. Mm-hmm. And they're making really good money, way better money than you are. So they don't want to solve
it. It's a program to prevent those people from being homeless.
Right, exactly. Or at least jobless. Or at least having to find new pretend jobs. Well, DEI is the same way. What is it? What if it's left and right?
I think there's some of that, but it's some of that's the mentality of, again, the urban versus rural in many ways.
Republican v. Democrat, which isn't necessarily left v. right, because as we're told on a regular basis, there are far too many Republicans who are really leftists. And there are Democrats who complain that there are some Democrats who are not left enough. So, which is it? So if you sit down and you start writing these questions, okay, what is actually wrong with America, right? And you try to figure this out. What are you left with?
I don't know, men versus women.
Oddly enough, this is the theory that's been posited to us this week. The problem is not left v. right. It's not urban versus rural. It's not even white versus black. The problem, as posited to us, is that men and women, sorry, I've got a new monitor, so I'm trying to move things around here. Men and women do not have adequate mating strategies.
This is one that you don't hear about.
This is one that you don't hear about, but at the same time, you wonder about it because is it true?
There could very well be some truth to this.
On initial viewing, you say to yourself, mating strategies. What does that have to do with anything?
WTF?
Right. But then you delve into this a little bit and you think, well, wait a minute. This is the theory as it's been put forward to us. You ready?
Yep.
When men and women have adequate mating strategies, they put their focus on mating. And in doing so, they become biologically satisfied, or at the very least, it keeps them busy.
Okay. Well,
you can't argue with that.
You get married and, you know.
You don't even have to get married, dude. This is the 21st century.
Well, true. I'm just saying that, you know, it's called settling down, right? When you get married.
When you get married, it is called settling down. And there is some satisfaction to that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not pining for the old days when I was sowing my wild oats, as it were. But at the same time, I've been married twice. Once of those, I was actually good. The other one
was not really settling down.
No, it was not.
It was just settling.
Yeah. And the question is, which way? So, at the very least, it keeps us busy because we're finding satisfactory we're becoming biologically satisfied, which you could argue that particularly men, because I am a man, I don't know anything about women. When we are biologically satisfied, we are much easier to get along with.
Yes.
Agreed?
Agreed.
Much more malleable at that point. Mm-hmm. We're willing to do things that maybe we wouldn't be willing to do if we were not in that biologically satisfied mindset. But the theory goes on. When mating strategies fail for a variety of social reasons, as is happening today, men become dangerous and women become batshit crazy and start defending DEI and open borders and anything else that increases the odds of women being around additional, let's just call it, men.
Okay.
So let's go back to the first part of this. When mating strategies fail for a variety of social reasons, as is happening today, what are those strategies that are failing? And see, I had given this no thought until I read this. And then the lights went on.
On the left, you've got these effeminate men with lower testosterone because there's studies coming out saying that the testosterone levels are falling.
Right.
You know, sperm counts are falling.
Don't know how that can be because every other commercial on TV right now is, you know, for get your testosterone.
Yeah, yeah. But so you've got these lesser men and you've got these women that are looking for stronger men.
Right.
Just like that recent, there was that recent, was it TikTok video where this liberal woman dated a manly man and was blown off her feet.
Right. Didn't know how to handle that.
Didn't know how to handle it. Was shocked and was just amazed.
And this made, this of course made all of the right wing media because we were equally surprised that she was surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But what are some of, I guess what I'm driving at is what are these social, what are these mating strategies that are failing for societal reasons?
Well, now it's just about hooking up and nobody cares about the children. The mating, I mean, the whole idea of mating, right, isn't pleasure, really. There's an aspect of that, but it's procreation.
Okay, but procreation, let's face it, is pleasurable.
Sure. I mean, or attempting it, yeah.
That's the line from the movie Robots. Where they order the robot and it comes in the box and she says making it is the fun part. I love those jokes. I love these jokes that are in these kids movies that go right over the head of the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, so I've watched that movie with Ben a bunch of times and he just got that.
Yeah.
But
it's thinking, like SpongeBob SquarePants is the same way.
Yeah. So complete aside, one of the guys that's involved with SpongeBob SquarePants is a guy by the name of Steven Banks.
Mm-hmm.
Who once upon a time did one of the funniest one-man shows you've ever seen in your life. And I cannot for the life of me remember the name of it right now. But he's a writer, and he's got a deadline, and he's distracted by everything. And it is one of the funniest shows. Steven Banks Entertainment Center is the name of it. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
You should go find it. It's hysterical. But it's a YouTube of a videotape, so it's got all the videotape.
The stuff, grainy lines. Right, stuff.
But it is still very fun. Anyway, so back to these mating strategies. There was a time, and I know this is hard to believe now. You look at me now and you go, there's no way. But there was a time when I was a 13-year-old boy. And as a 13-year-old boy beginning to discover the world around me, I'm going to tell you that mating strategies were forefront in my head.
That's exactly right, yeah.
How do I do this? And okay, maybe mating strategy is a bad phraseology here.
But it's biologically driven,
it
right?
It is biologically driven. But there was a lot of conversation in my head and with good friends about, does she like me?
Mm-hmm.
Should I send her a note saying, do you like me? Checkbox yes, checkbox no. There was a lot of that, as I understand it now, on the other side. All of these things were happening, and the strategies involved were ridiculous. I mean, let's face it. Do I wear something that I know she likes? Do I share my French fries with, you know, all those kinds of things enter into all this. That's Dave as a 13-year-old boy somewhere back in the 20th century. Today, I have a 13-year-old son who I can't get out of his bedroom and is constantly playing some game. I think it's Roblox or Minecraft or something with his friends spread out all over the country who, by the way, are all dudes.
Yeah.
And we leave the door open. Or he leaves the door open and we're leaving the door open. And so we're hearing all the conversation. And none of it is about mating strategies. None of it's about that hot chick, you know, down the street. None of it.
No.
It's all about, oh, I got caught underneath the boat and I couldn't get out. Or, you know, the bricks landed on me. Or how do we put this thing together? So is that a mating strategy failure for a variety of social reasons?
I think from a social standpoint, yes.
Because they've become so distracted by, well, games.
Yeah.
That they don't even have any interest in it. Now, there's a part of me that says, don't worry about it, because every 13-year-old boy becomes a 16-year-old boy at some point. And biology is going to kick in here at some point. But when is that point? For me, it was, you know.
Yeah, I think the challenge is that without some of those social, and this is we kind of went through this with homeschooling, without having some of the social interactions, they are stunted in a little bit. And it's not to say that we didn't expose our son to social situations and he was there, but I don't think he had the same exposure to the opposite sex.
But at the same time, I remember taking him to middle school when he was still in middle school at the eighth grade, because Ben is homeschooled now, and thinking to myself, holy crap, did 13-year-old girls look like this when I was in school? Because I don't remember that. They certainly didn't dress like this.
Yeah.
And if they had, wow, things would have been much more
mating strategy
oriented.
Yeah, our son growing up, even in our church functions that we did, you could tell when the youth got together, those that were public schooled and those that were homeschooled. There was a marked difference in how they dressed and how they behaved.
So when these mating strategies fail for a variety of social reasons, and we've hit on some of those, men become dangerous. Now, the person who sent us this did not really explain what he meant by that.
No, he didn't.
But I have some thoughts. We have seen men, incels, involuntary incels, is that what they call them? They call themselves
incels.
Involuntary celibate, who have gone crazy and killed people. Mm-hmm. We have seen men who have become so obsessed with women that they want to be women. Mm-hmm. Which is dangerous. We have seen things that we don't really want to see, and those men have become, I guess, dangerous in that way. Then you've got women becoming batshit crazy, which is, look, I got news for the I have news for the person who postulated this theory about women being batshit crazy. Putting that aside for another day. He says his theory is that the people defending DEI and open borders and anything else that increases the odds of women being around, quote, additional sperm, unquote, is because of these mating strategies failures. Now, I have noted since I received this that the vast majority of posts that I've seen defending DEI particularly are by women.
Yes.
Is that because they are a quote-unquote underrepresented minority? Or is it because
I think a lot of the DEI officers that you see posting things on Twitter and social media are women.
But is that because they're trying to increase their odds of being around men, real men, not men pretending to be women?
Maybe subconsciously, maybe. I mean,
how does that work?
How does what work?
How does advocating for DEI increase your chances of being around men? This is the part I don't get, because the only men you're going to be around are men who could not otherwise compete, right? They are otherwise incapable of being successful, and so they've been promoted based on diversity, equity, or inclusion, rather than actual merit.
Well, and let's, you know, the real manly men types don't hang around with DEI people. I'm sorry.
Well, that's true.
So you're not going to be exposed to it.
They're at January 6th.
January 6th.
So does this theory hold any water, I guess? Is what we see, what we think we see, he goes on, is Democrats versus Republicans. That's the downstream effect. But it is really mating failure that turned Democrats into the woman's party and Republicans into the man's party. Now, I know some Republican women who would be...
Well, but he goes on, though.
Democrat men are pleasers, so they play along with the single women to increase their mating options, whereas Republican women are inclined to back their protectors, which is also a good mating strategy.
Yeah.
But it's not working, apparently, because we're having this division.
Well, and then it comes, in my mind, I think there is some underlying truth to this.
See, that's what bothers me. Is when I read this, I went, ha, ha, ha. And then I said, wait.
I think there are other factors involved, but I think this could also explain some, right?
Of the behavior. It could explain some. In the same way that some theories could explain something, you know, you could explain plate tectonics by just using magic magnets, right? Yeah. Can't prove it, but there is something in this theory that bothers me, and I'm not sure what it is. It's in the back of my head screaming with a big hammer pounding on my brain, but I don't know what it is. I feel like there's something missing here, but I look at society and, you know, look, I accept the fact that there are far too many people in this country who are willing to become effeminate men. And there's a certain element that to me is almost a violence, in the sense that I can be a woman with a dick and you can't tell me I'm not a woman.
Yeah.
Which means that real women somehow now are secondary to men who are pretending they're women. And there's almost a destructive component to that that is just being blown off. I mean, this golfer dude. Have you seen this golfer?
Well, it's very much about narcissism, right? It really is. I mean, it's the narcissistic, I'm going to be what I want to be, and you can't tell me otherwise.
But how does that fit into this theory of mating strategies failure?
Well,
and
I'm thinking that it is a part of the men becoming dangerous, right? It is the self-serving nature. They are trying to, one, be around more women, right?
Right.
They're doing the women's sports. They're going to be around a ton of women.
Right.
They want the attention of the women.
And the assumption is, and I'm just saying what the assumption is. I'm not saying I agree with this. I'm saying that the assumption is that many of the women involved in those kinds of sports are, in fact, lesbians. So, do these dudes think that by pretending to be women, they can be lesbian?
Well, isn't that the push, right? Hey, you can't tell them that they're not a lesbian, even though they have, you know,
right,
male genitalia.
Right. Part A, as one of our.
Do you want to be? Hey, babe, you want to be with me? I'm a girl.
Yeah. So it comes back to these mating strategies failures, because now I'm told, if I a male, do not want to date a transgender woman who still has male genitalia. In other words, how do I put this? Oh, yeah, a dude who dresses like a girl. If I, as a male, don't want to date that, I'm the homophobe, transphobic bigot. But my mating strategy is I want to procreate.
Yes.
I want to enjoy being with a woman, and you are not a woman. But you're saying that you are a woman, and my mating strategy, therefore, is being disrupted by that, which has become a social reason.
Yeah.
And how likely am I then to just go, well, you know what? It's just not worth it going out to the bars anymore.
No. Just play your video games.
Yeah. Just sit at home and play your video games. And let's face it, entertainment is free and ubiquitous. So what do I need you for? Kind of thing. But where does the element, how do we get past that? What gets us back on an even keel?
Traditional family values, Dave.
Okay, but how do you get that? Because you know people are going to fight. If you believe in traditional family values, it's because you're a bigot.
Yeah.
You're the bad guy. You're the Trump voter.
It's a balkanization of society is what it's going to come down to, because you're going to change. You're going to have groups of people gathering together of like mindset.
Right.
Fighting against the other side.
Where are we going to see that? What social organization exists already that, at least in theory, would allow that to happen?
I'm drawing a blank, but I know what you're...
Faith-based.
Yeah.
Place. Churches, synagogues.
Yeah.
Would be a place for that to happen. But we've been so destructive of that, that it's hard to just... I mean, can you... If you start going to that, then do you get, you know, radicalized into that faith and become more focused on that than you do on me?
I do think there's a pendulum swing that's coming up. That you're going to have the, you know, PLRI, the Peace Loving Islam,
religion of Islam,
that it sets up for a pendulum swing to where those are oppressive of women.
Well, I would argue that many of them already are.
Well, they are, but I'm just saying that
wouldn't the folks who
popularity is going to swing,
right? Wouldn't the folks, yes, popularity with folks, and I mean, there are already people out there that actually believe that The Handmaid's Tale is coming true today, that Republican men are out there suppressing women and just using them for baby making. I don't know, man. Clearly the mating strategies are broken for a variety of social reasons. But the first time I read this, I went, okay. But then I reread it and I went, wait. And so I leave it to you, dear listeners. What's the little dude with the hammer in the back of my head pounding on me? What is he trying to tell me? Because I'm missing something. I guess I should have read the comments on this whole thing, because
we haven't yet.
We haven't yet.
We didn't even say who actually posted this.
Right. Because I don't think that's relevant at this point. It sounds nice in principle. Is there any evidence that men are more dangerous? Are men more violent or committing dangerous antisocial behavior at a higher rate? Seems to be the opposite. Well, not based on the court yesterday. Without discounting your observations, I would add a dimension. In the absence of God or a higher being of some sort, a large portion of the population takes it upon themselves to be God and attempts to make others subservient to their will. Particularly the progressive acts as if the fate of the universe is in their hands and rationalize the destruction of anything or anyone getting in the way, such as the Constitution, the rule of law, or the people. I don't know. It bothers me because I know the person who came up with this theory, and again, we're not going to tell you. And this person has produced things that guide me through my life that would surprise you. One of the best management books I've ever read was written by this person.
Absolutely. Yes.
A management book that is far more valuable than any of these others you read about how to be this or that. This one tells you what is actually going on and how to deal with it. But But at the same time, if I told you who it was, people would go, how can you take that seriously?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is he has a rule that says anything you want to talk about, if you ask yourself, in order for this to be true, what else must be true?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I apply that rule to this, I can't come up with anything that disproves it.
Mm-hmm.
That mating strategies are failing for a variety of social reasons, and that is what's leading to DEI, open borders, and then it's tearing apart our society. Democrat men are pleasers, so they'll play along with single women to increase their mating options, which never works. You get friend zoned.
Mm-hmm.
Been down that road. And Republican women are inclined to back their protectors, which is a good mating strategy, but where are they?
Where are the protectors?
Right. I don't know. What do you think? WTF at whatthefrock.org, or you can comment on our Facebook page. Either one of those will get you to us. And let us know what you think, because I tell you, there's disturbingly something to this that I was not expecting when I set out to start getting ready for things. I really wasn't anticipating that. But that's where I ended up. What do you think? WTF at whatthefrock.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Dave.
I'm Rod.
So in that same vein, this is a heavier show than normal. Sorry, just is. But in that same vein of these mating strategies have failed, mm-hmm. Got this email this morning, which again, I don't read, but...
You sort of did.
I sort of did. Dave, today I'm working for an event for a blank company. One of the jobs I have is to sign off on the I-9 employment verification for new workers. I feel you because I used to do the same thing. I have to inspect documents and verify their validity. These documents prove that the employee is legal to work for the company in the United States. Those of you not familiar with the I-9, you have to have certain documents. It used to be one document from list A was like a passport or military ID, or two items from list B, Social Security card and driver's license being the most common.
Uh-huh.
And I can assure you that in my 25 years of doing that, I saw my share of fake documents. And I don't just mean fake documents, I mean obviously fake documents. I mean like photocopy type fake documents. And on at least one occasion, you know what I was told?
What?
You're not qualified to determine whether that's fake or not.
Huh.
How is it, he goes on, that illegal immigrants can come to this country and work? Well, how is that? Because now they're giving them green cards,
mm-hmm.
work permits. I've heard about these raids on packing companies where a contractor sells a cleaning service to the packing company. Cleaners go into work between shifts. Cleaning company invoices the packing company. The workers are paid by the contractor. But as soon as the feds close in on the cleaning company, they disappear and reappear work week later under different names. Now, where I was for many years, in Central Valley of California, where Rod is now,
mm-hmm.
where you really see this is on the farms, where you really see this, yes. is on And I've had farmers come in on the show with I-9 documents of the people that are working for them to show them to me. And again, some of them were obviously faked. Some of them were really good. But they're in the position of, I don't get to decide whether it's fake or not. Mm-hmm. So I have to accept them. If they have the documentation, I have to accept it. I have to hire them. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. They said knowingly. But they also have a job they got to get done, which is to, what's that? Feed the country.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people complaining about these illegal immigrants coming up here to pick vegetables don't want to pay $7 for a head of lettuce at the Safeway.
No.
They want to pay a buck. Well, the only way you do that is if the farmer can keep those costs down. And these people...
This is why minimum wage go away.
Well, it's also why this... it's why a migrant worker program is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a story for another day. In other words, he says, I suspect that the illegals are being paid in an illegal way, usually in cash. When I was managing contractors at a local business, I required the contractor to verify and sign a document stating that all their workers were coming on to our property were legal, and they're going to sign that, because the fallback position is, if you find someone who's not, they're going to produce the documentation that says
they this are, is what as I far have. As I know.
Right. As far as I know. Had a high school teacher, he says, that tells the class, quote, you get more of what you pay for. If you pay people not to work, you get more people not working. If you pay people to work, you get more people working. Look at the illegal immigrant situations. We are paying illegal immigrants money, cell phone, housing, medical, and politicians are surprised that we're getting more of them. Dude, I hate to break this to you, but nobody is surprised that we're getting more of them. Nobody, there's no surprise here at all. You get more of what you're pay for, so follow the money. This whole situation right now, and I'll be honest, I haven't looked at the news this morning, so I don't even know what's going on in Texas right now.
No.
The last thing I heard in Texas was yesterday morning, someone was trying to convince me that Abbott's whole stand at Eagle Pass is just an act, and that the rest of the Texas border is still open. But I can't confirm that. I have no idea. I have no way of knowing.
No, not without being there.
We're back to, is this just a political stunt to get a border bill passed that's by all measures a ridiculously stupid bill, but politicians are not surprised. Politicians are getting the votes to do this from someone. Who's voting for this stuff? Are we back to the DEI supporting women who want these open borders? Is that what we're back to? What is the benefit here other than, okay, if it wasn't replacement theory, what would be being done differently?
You know, that's a hard one. I'm trying to think through. You know, for I guess what is go ahead and what is replacement theory?
Replacement theory is based on replacement theology. Now, replacement theory is that all these migrants are being brought into any given country, England, America, France, Germany, wherever, for the purpose of overwhelming the local population by becoming citizens, quote unquote, and outvoting, in other words, replacing the indigenous population. Now, in replacement theology, the idea is that the church has replaced Israel.
So if it's not that, it is compassion run amok.
Okay. How so?
In that you've got people that are sincere and they're thinking that, okay, well, we have a better life here. We should let people come here and we can help them and they can have a better life too. You know, we shouldn't fault these people for wanting something better, right? We hear that in the news.
Right.
These people want better lives coming from the countries that they are.
And if you go back to the original constitution as country, you almost find that in there. In the Declaration of Independence, you find one of the complaints about King George III is that he's limiting immigration. And we need more people. But is that the same thing that's happening today?
I think I think it's in part, it is some of the replacement theory, because you've got California bringing all these people in, and then they want to give them the right to vote. Okay, so once you start crossing that bridge, then that's exactly what you're doing. You're replacing the voters so you can get what you want, because you're giving all these people handouts. And so what are these people going to do? Vote to not take the handouts?
That's the theory, is that they will support you because you've helped them. And of course, there's some reason to think that. I mean, we've seen that throughout our history, where mm-hmm. you have groups of people who have been coddled by one party or the other. And even though everything that party's doing is counter to what they really believe, they're going to support it anyway, because they have to. Or want to, or whatever. It's a little frustrating, and it comes back to, why is anybody supporting this? Who are the people that are supporting this? And are they supporting it because of mating strategies, I guess, is what I'm asking. Is there an element to that? Do you see why that theory is so... And even if there isn't, okay, let's say there's no truth to that at all. Is there a male side of this component that might be convinced to believe that?
Could be.
These are things that they're rattling around in my head today as we watch what's going on our border and in our Congress, where, believe me, none of these people are surprised by it. The only people that are surprised are the sanctuary city mayors, who never in a million years expected these people to show up on their doorstep.
Nope.
And if you think it's just Texas doing this, is it because the federal government is apparently flying people all around the country?
Yeah, they've been doing that quietly.
Right. So where is the federal government flying these people?
They're flying them into the heartlands and the conservative areas and stuff like that.
But I don't see those places on the news.
But not at the same numbers.
Right. But wouldn't you think you'd see that on the news?
Well, you have. Some of the conservative outlets have covered it, but it's not to the same shock and awe, I'll say, as Texas doing what they've done and dropping these busloads and airplanes of immigrants off.
Which is still...
It's awesome.
Martha's Vineyards. So there you go. Steve, I don't know the answer to your question. I don't think anybody's surprised by this. But I can tell you, as a former HR manager, that it not only doesn't surprise me, but as someone who's a radio talk show host for better part of two decades in the Central Valley of California, I can tell you farmers go through this every single day. Mm-hmm. And the reaction, you know, there's a practicality to this that says, well, I need people. They have documents. Yeah. In the words of who was it that said that in Hitchhiker's Guide? SEP? Somebody else's problem?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember who said it, but that's what it comes down to. That's the deal. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
To What the Frock. Dave, in our news this week, I come across this one article out of Australia. You know,
it's always a good place to go.
Yeah, it's either that or Florida. Florida. You know, there's always these advertisements for these natural enhancing drugs and all this stuff for male, for, you know.
Right, which you're going to need because the mating strategies are failing.
It's exactly right. So we have a case here where an Aussie bloke who experimented with one of these over the counter super Viagra, quote unquote, basically ended him accidentally flashing his stuff to a teenage Hungry Jack worker.
Hungry so Jack. Basic,
yeah, so Hungry Jack is like, I guess, Burger King or something like that. Down under. So basically, the young woman was traumatized and reduced to tears. So last September, this bloke took sexual enhancement drug called Pitbull Super prior to attending an orgy with friends at a local hotel. While it's advertised that is a natural formula, it does contain the actual prescription drugs of Viagra and Cialis, which is used to treat erectile dysfunction. As a result of taking the pill, which is not only not approved by the TGA, which I'm guessing that is the Australian authority, his erection would not subside and became extremely painful. He was with a number of young ladies and they were having relations and it would not cease. And then it became painful. He decided to go to the doctor at that point. But on the way to the doctor, Dave, he was in such pain. He had his pants open and a blanket across his lap. He decides to go to Hungry Jack to get some food before hitting the hospital.
Because that's what you do.
Because that's what you do. Well, it was in that drive-thru that he accidentally bumped that towel, exposing himself to the young girl in the drive-thru. So this guy was actually arrested.
Accidentally.
Yeah, this guy was arrested. But the judge took pity on him, Dave. There wasn't any sexual intent in it. And so he was let off. But yeah, so guys, don't take this stuff that...
don't take the Super Viagra.
Yeah.
The gas station pills.
And what, if you do,
don't go through
the drive-thru.
Thermopolis, Wyoming. Hands down, one of my favorite places on earth. If you have never been to Thermopolis, Wyoming, you should go. Thermopolis, Wyoming sits almost smack dab in the middle of the upper half of Wyoming. It's about an hour east of Yellowstone Park.
Okay.
And so there is a lot of...
How close to Dave's dead horse ranch is this?
That's down in Colorado, southern Colorado. So
oh, okay.
It's quite a ways. That's on the banks of the San Juan River. Anyway, bumble nugget. So Thermopolis is just beautiful. It's very volcanic. It's very much like Yellowstone without having to pay to go into Yellowstone.
Okay. It
has the same... thermal hot springs, the same geological features, and fascinating place. It also has resorts that have been built over these hot springs. So you have these like water parks that are filled with this
hot mineral water.
Yeah, which is great. I took the family there a couple years ago on vacation because Ben likes to swim and I like saunas and being in hot water because it makes me not hurt as much. I have been to Thermopolis in the summertime with my family. I've been in the dead of winter. Mm-hmm. My parents took me there one year in the dead of winter. So you're outside in these hot pools. It's like minus 25 outside, mm-hmm. but you're sitting in a volcanic hot pool. So your hair is all frozen, but you're feeling comfortably. It doesn't bother you. But Thermopolis is confusing. A youngish man... and that's what we're told, a youngish man from Lander, Wyoming, got an expensive wake-up call on Sunday at Hot Springs State Park, which is in Thermopolis, when he mistook a hot springs flow. Water.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't freeze. For a parking lot, he mistook a hot spring for a parking lot.
What?
And drove his SUV into it.
What?
I have a great picture of it. So, here, I'll send you the picture so you can see this. This is great. He apparently didn't know the difference between a hot spring and a parking lot, which when you look at the picture, you're going to go... It doesn't even look like a parking lot.
No. No. Why would you do that?
Alone in his vehicle, the driver, again a youngish male from Lander, Wyoming, thought it was a parking lot, then it realized it wasn't too late and got his vehicle stuck in the channel, which of course damaged the rock wall and some equipment that measures the flow of the spring, which park personnel are going to have to repair now when weather permits. By the way, the hot spring channel does not look like a parking lot to the people who live there, but the morning dark and the steam rising in the cold could have played tricks on the driver.
He does not, if it was dark, yeah, I guess that's
he does not believe that alcohol or drugs are involved, but I'm not going to go that far. There were citations issued, but it's the kind of thing that makes me say...
WTF?
I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
And it's been a busy week for me. Apologize. I'm kind of struggling right now. School is taking up. I'm only taking three classes, one of which is a completely BS class about how to take classes. But it's one of the components of this is social media. So it has its own social media board. And you have to participate on the social media board, which is so stupid. And I actually made a post on the board about this is so stupid. But,
well, there you know,
it's like, but I got points for it, so that's what matters, right?
How to win friends and influence people.
Well, it's like, look, nobody else in this school uses this board. Why are we doing this? Well, it's to help teach you to do these things. And I'm like, I'm 60 years old. I don't care.
You're just, it's just complaints with dad.
That's what it is. Complaints with dad. And there's that element to it. But my other two classes that I'm taking right now, and I only took the three classes because frankly, I wanted to make sure that this would work before I got, you know, into a full load. And what I'm finding is that even these two classes that I'm actually having to work at are time consuming. It's like going to school full time. I mean, you got to sit through lectures, you got to read stuff, you got to, and of course, I'm a pretty good reader. I'm not a speed reader by any means of the thing, but I can skim pretty good. And as I sent to Ron and Bill yesterday, a nice little article from LinkedIn about Arizona State University, which is where I'm going, and how Arizona State University has, what's the word they use? They used a word for it. Partnered with OpenAI and ChatGPT to deploy ChatGPT university-wide. We like ChatGPT and OpenAI.
Well, it's already been deployed to the students. The faculty is just not getting on board.
Right. So that does tend to make research a little bit easier and faster. And so, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I don't use it, because I do. I didn't use it to write. I use it to write my outlines for my papers, but not the actual papers. That makes sense. So from that aspect of it, but it is just like time. And for some reason this past week in world history from 2.2 million years ago, human history, 2.2 million years ago, Lucy, to the 1500s, 7 weeks. We just spent an entire week on the intricacies of Hinduism and Buddhism.
Great.
And I'm like, I'm guessing the professor is probably a Buddhist, to be honest with you, because she's really into this stuff. So
sure.
Anyway, made it through. It's fine. What I'm finding is...
it's good to be Krishna.
Yeah. Apparently. Or Ganesh, one of the two. What I'm finding... or Shiva, the destroyer. That's the one you really want to be. Anyway, what I'm finding is that I don't have time to do anything else. So yeah. My show is suffering. I will tell you that right now. My show is
Part of it, too, is getting into the swing of doing the work.
Part of it is, but I've only taken two classes, and next quarter I have to take four.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a little concerned about that. I'm a little concerned about Plausibly Live being what it is. And it's a little bit easier with Dave Does History because that's part of what I do anyway.
Uh-huh.
And this show, Sunday mornings, is fine. And so anyway, if you're
we've proven that we can get by with not having a lot of practice.
We can tap dance as well as anybody. I'm just sort of I'm not quitting what I do, but at uh-huh. the same time, everybody, you need to understand this is a lot more work than I thought it would be. I guess I shouldn't put it that way, but it is very time consuming.
Yeah.
So there's that. And on top of all of that, I had to explain to one of my professors this week that I was turning in my assignments 3 days early because of other stuff I had to do medically. And I wasn't going to have time to wait till the last minute to do it, which sounds like it should be. As I reread the email I sent him, I'm like, well, this sounds stupid.
Uh-huh.
I'm apologizing for turning work in early.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense. But the reason I had to turn it in early is because I did get the results of my bone scan, and it's about the worst case scenario.
Uh-huh.
There's one element that's not the absolute worst case scenario didn't come to, and that would have been that that there was an infection in the knee. And there wasn't. Which was an adventure because I had to have a knee draw where they draw fluid off your knee.
Ugh.
And let me assure you that sucks. And I, in the middle of it, I told the guys, I hate you. I'm about to punch you. This hurts. This hurts bad. And he's like, well, we gave you the spray, the spray.
Oh, geez, it's thanks. Great.
So the skin didn't hurt. You're rooting around in the center of my freaking knee. It hurts. He gets done and he says, and I quote, hey, good news. There was no fluid on your knee, which means there's no infection.
Uh-huh.
And I said, say, yeah. That is good news. Asshole. So worst case scenario is out the window. There's no infection. But that said, the upper portion of my knee replacement has become completely detached, which essentially means that every step I take, I've got this metal piece
rattling around,
punching into my bone.
Uh-huh.
And of course that has to be, and that's there's a lot of instability, which is what led to the falls, the pain, which leads to the inflammation,
uh-huh.
all these kind of things. And so I'm sitting here wondering, how does that happen? How does this come disconnected? Because the percentages are pretty low, and the percentages are like less than 5% of this happening. Uh-huh. So of course it happens to me.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to him. I'm like, well, how could this, what causes this? And he said, usually it's a scar tissue thing where the scar tissue builds up and pushes it away or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at him and I said, March, April, May, June, less than 3 months after they did this surgery, initially, they had to do a manipulation under anesthetic because I couldn't bend my knee. And so they had to knock me out again, go back in the operating room, and physically bend my knee to, quote, break up scar tissue. And I'm wondering now if that isn't what broke it.
Huh.
And I asked the only medical professional that I know intimately, and she was like, well, that would make sense. Because that's about the time where we didn't know it then because I was still healing up,
uh-huh.
but I never got past all those problems ever.
Huh.
And so.
So by bending your knee forcibly, they broke the seal, basically.
I wonder if they did, but they had to do it because I couldn't bend my knee.
Huh.
So it's like rock in a hard place. What do you do? Anyway, upshot of all of this, folks, is that sometime in the next 2 weeks, and I don't remember what the date is. See if I can get my calendar up here. Not that you care, and I get that, but maybe you do, maybe you don't.
Oh, well, they probably care more than about the soccer we opened up with.
That's true. So what is today? 28th. So 1, 2, 3, a little over 3.5 weeks from now, because that's as quick as you can get things done anymore. I have an appointment with the knee surgeon here who will do the whatever it is that they do, the pre I don't know what they call it.
Are they just going to super glue it back in?
No, I don't know what. No, that's not what's going to happen. In fact, I meet with her for the starting of this process. They have to. This is what they call it, a revision. But what they have to do is go in and replace the knee replacement. So having been through this once already and knowing what that did, this is what I'm looking forward to at some point in the near future.
Okay.
I do not know when that will be, but I suspect it will be the way things are going with medical stuff right now. This is going to be February before I see that. There are issues with my A1C. They won't do surgery if your A1C is above a certain point, uh-huh. And mine is. Mine's not terrible, but it's not good. It's 8.1, which is too high. I get it.
You going to try some Ozempic?
I've been on Ozempic for years.
Have you?
I've been on Ozempic for 5 years.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, all you people that are buying Ozempic because you think it's going to make you lose weight, you're full of crap. The only way Ozempic will help you lose weight is by giving you diarrhea. That's it. That's the only thing it'll do. But the point being that I got to get the A1C down to a reasonable level, and then that will pursue. And I can't even see the endocrinologist until March.
So it's probably summertime that you're going to have.
Probably looking in the summertime, me being out for a significant amount of time because this.
Well,
is
not so were you planning on taking classes during the summer?
Was, but who knows now? And that's kind of what I need to get a handle on because. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm going to take them. I'm going to sign up for them. At least I may have to drop out. But anyway, the point is that I may not be around here come summertime for a few weeks.
Okay.
Because my guess is I'm going to be stuck downstairs, not able to climb stairs and stuff like that. And when I had this done originally, we were in Manteca. We didn't have any stairs in the house.
That complicates things.
But this is going to be. Anyway, that's my medical situation. So those of you that have been texting me and sending me emails, that's where we are. And it's pretty obvious on the x-ray.
I can speak for our listeners, though, that our thoughts and our prayers are with you, that you have a speedy recovery.
Thoughts and prayers. All that. Thanks. Send money. That's what I need.
Send money. Kofi.
Yes, that's what helps. Thoughts and prayers don't do shit.
Send money.
Money. Money is what makes me feel better. So there you go. That's what's going on with me. And on that note, I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
And this has been...
What the Frock?